Welcome to the OA Footsteps Sponsorship Day Workshop. Today is August 17th, 2025. We will hear from three speakers who will each share their experience of working with others and sponsoring, followed by Q&A. Again, you are a big part of this, so please do post your questions in the chat. Questions posted will be read aloud anonymously, and panelists will each have a chance to respond. Opinions expressed are those of the person sharing and do not represent OA. Today, we welcome Kendall M., Sue H., and Nancy P. Thank you for being our speakers today. We're going to start off with Kendall. Please take it away.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kendall. I'm a compulsive overeater here in New Jersey. Thank you for the opportunity to do service. It's really important for me. Perhaps the most important sentence for me in want to begin with is on is in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is where I'll be speaking my experience, strength, and hope in working the steps in that literature. But the first two sentences are of pa on page 89 in chapter 7, Working with Others. It says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. Those two sentences are really important for me, is that ensuring against the slip, against the loss of abstinence, because and well, not because, but also I want to also share that while it is a pleasure to be of service to other people, one of the things that's very important to me is that this is of service for myself as well. I stay connected to my higher power by helping others. So it's really of the utmost importance that I help someone else. In order to keep what I've got, I got to give it away, is what I've been taught in this program. Before I really begin talking about my experience of sponsorship, I do want to just briefly qualify in terms of, okay, I've been in program since 2020. November 11, 2020 is my first day. I was struck abstinent, had a relapse, reset my time September 4th of 2021, and I've been abstinent since then. So, God willing, coming up on 4 years of continuous abstinence. Came into the program at 485 pounds and coming in around 195 to 200 pound weight loss or weight release now. Still on the way down. But the reason I say all this is I don't want to sound like an expert on recovery. I don't want to speak for all of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous or for all of OA. This is literally just my experience. Your mileage may vary. And I'm doing this to the best of my ability. If anything I say doesn't line up with the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, it doesn't line up with any of our literature. Please credit it to my head and not my heart, because this has saved my life. And I want to just keep that as the centerpiece of why sponsoring is important. So in sponsoring and having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps and trying to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to those who suffer, what was really important for me was keeping it simple. I was so nervous when I started sponsoring first. I was like, well, what am I going to do? Because I had this, there was a lot of ego that was actually involved. I'm like, well, I'm worried. I was a lot of self-seeking. I was worried that I was going to mess people up, like I was going to kill them with my information. And I was assured by my sponsor that just don't mix up the recipe. Start your, the starting place is the starting place is really where how you were sponsored. So so you said, Kendall, so how did I take you through the work? And so that was the basis of what I started with. So what did that look like for me? I won't go through all of the steps, but I'll try to focus in on the things that were most important in the very beginning of my recovery. One of them was, when getting started in the work, was my sponsor talked to me every day. So I talked to my sponsees every day. It was really just to get an idea. The first thing we did is we talked, we checked in for just a minute, opened with a prayer, talked about the food, what was the plan of action around the food in that day. And we got into the literature and we read and we worked together for about a half an hour a day every day. And that's actually what happened every single day until we worked through the steps. and got to the end of page 164, and then we started meeting a little less frequently, but we met every day at first, and so that's how I started out. What was really important in that was particularly the pieces of literature when working with sponsees, and this is what I still do. I have them read the doctor's opinion first, and then we read it together, and we talk about the, so we talk about the phenomenon of craving, and we talk about the obsession of the mind, and we share about that experience. So one of the first things that's really important in sponsoring others is when I get the opportunity, when the first call, I really try to sit and listen to their story, like what it was like for them, and open it, and then I relate, but I listen first. The first thing that I do is listen. I've learned that the hard way. I used to, when I first started out sponsoring, the first thing was like, oh, I'm building a squad of people who are in recovery. And so I would tell them how it was going to go. And this is what you need to do. And I started out kind of trying to strong arm, and that just didn't work. Because, and also because it wasn't what was done for me. My sponsor was extremely gentle and very understanding, but was very firm. It was very firm about what this disease was, and so a lot of the work is around the, a lot of the work is around at the very beginning is getting very clear about what entire abstinence looks like, and so, with for me in terms of I don't the language we use is talking about alcoholic foods, and so foods if I were to eat those foods it's like picking up a drink. And so we outlined what those foods were, and those were out. And then we talked about getting a nutritionist eventually. And we talked about what a plan of eating would look like, and restaurants and those kinds of things. So really getting clear about step one around the food. But then there's also the second part of step one, which is the unmanageability of life. And there's some recommendations that I make, some suggestions about talking in how we use the OA tools. So talking about phone calls. I don't, there's no mandate. I make suggestions about numbers of phone calls for folks to make, meetings, reading the, reading the daily readers, starting to develop a prayer life and meditation, just no matter how big or how small, just starting doing those things and just using the tools. And service is really important. Recommendation is to for my sponsees, as I ask them to do service in the meetings that they go to, not so much to worry about a lot of the behind the scene things. At least for me, it was, I'm really kind of a quote unquote overachiever. I always wanted to go run and go do a bunch of stuff, but it was really important for me to be present in the meeting. So, because I would tune out, I would turn off my camera, I would walk around, I would try to do other stuff. But what actually worked for me was camera on speaker view. I took notes on people's shares. Sometimes I had to close my eyes to listen to them, but because it was so hard, it was like a war zone getting abstinent. But sitting down and getting something out of the meeting. Also, timer, being the timer was really helpful for me because it forced me to be in the flow of the meeting. So these are some things that I talk about with my sponsees up front. I can tell you discussing, and how my sponsorship has changed over time. I have a couple of different iterations of how I've gone through the work with people. Sometimes we read every day. I went through a period of time where I was overcommitting myself to sponsoring too many people. So then I had to move to this like really complicated schedule. And it wasn't like a grid or anything, but I was always, I was always stepping on my own toes with time. I was just overcommitting and trying to work with too many folks. And so what I ended up doing was dialing back the number of people that I work with. And I was talk to them 2 to 3 times a week. But there are some people that I actually still work with every day and are taking them through the work. That's still kind of the thing that stayed the same for me. What has worked for me? One particular activity that my sponsor had me do that really works for me, and I still have my sponsees do, is in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, going through when in how it works, going through pages 60 from our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, going through that all the way to page 63 and writing it out in first person was very powerful for my sponsees and was extremely powerful for me. Because it really, and further to that point, any time that something would come up in the literature that really resonated, if I wrote it out in first person, it kind of landed different. And so we share back and forth. What I've found that works for me, what I found that also works for me is, and what doesn't work, what I started out doing first with my sponsees was having them read ahead and then us talk about what they read from the day before. I have found that that hasn't been as effective for me with in sponsorship. What has been effective for me has been reading alongside with my sponsees. So when we get together, we prayed in and we read a page or so at a time. And the conversation goes for about a half an hour generally. And we just continue reading that way. When we get to the inventory, we stop. We stop once we read through all of how it works. That's the only place that we really, it's one of the first places we pause in the work so that they can write down their inventory. And then after they've done that, we plan out a time to meet. Something else that I wish that I had known at the beginning of sponsoring was that I'm not a savior. I think that's the thing. It's not my job to save a sponsee. It's not even my job to save myself. I feel it is my duty to place my sponsee's hand in the loving hand of their own higher power, of their own understanding. And so what does that mean? It means that I only offer my own experience, strength, and hope. I try to offer to the best of my ability what time I can freely give. And also, I don't make demands of my sponsees. I just don't make demands of them. I had a lot of demands when I first started doing this. And I think a lot of it came out of fear. I was really afraid that, I thought it was out of concern about them, but I thought it really turned out to be concern about me. I was concerned with how it would look if they relapsed or how it would look if X, Y, or Z thing happened. But what it really was that this thing is so important to me. This recovery is so important to me. And so it's important for me to work with people that this is a serious piece of business for as well. And so as a result, I hold on lightly, sort of loving detachment, in my experience. I think the only other a couple one other thing is the reading in step three was a really big deal. Another thing that was really helpful for me when I got started sponsoring that I wish I knew, I wish that I had known that the hour that my, you know, that in the big book, we're asked to, when the person gives their step five, that they're asked to sit quietly, for an hour and thank God from the bottom of their heart. I wish I had known that that hour was important for me too. When I first started out, I was really over scheduling myself. I would take someone step five and then I would go jump to a meeting or I'd go jump to do something else. I'd try to go back into my workday, but I found that I was really spiritually drained after receiving a step five. It was a very important space to be in, but I needed that hour afterward just as much as my sponsee did. And so that's something that has changed for me. I've stopped over scheduling myself in that space. Another thing, other things that have changed in my sponsoring. I used to have a lot of, if you do this, I won't help you. Or if you do this, like I had a lot of these demands on my sponsees, and I have less demands, but I also don't hold on so tightly. So I ask someone if they're willing to do certain things, and if they're not willing, then maybe I'm not their sponsor. That's also been really important for me, particularly around direction with food stuff. Has I found that really all of those step one things, I can't fight. In step 10, one of the promises that I'm supposed to have ceased fighting anything or anyone. So I don't fight my sponsees. And that's really important for me. Thank you, Alan. I see my 1 minute and I will start to wrap up. Thank you for your service. I just wanted to say just another pitch of gratitude for the idea. I feel fortunate to be in the space and hear from everyone else's experience, strength, and hope as to how they sponsor, because I'm still really learning how to do this. I don't, you know, if I equate my abstinence to the age of a child, I'm not even 5 years old, and we know what 5-year-olds do. So, you know, I'm still learning how to play in the sandbox here, and I really am looking forward to learning more about my own sponsorship. And if I can be of service to anybody here, my phone number's here. Love to talk to anyone about this work or their own sponsoring or their own recovery. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Kendall. And our next speaker is today going to be Sue H. Come on in, Sue.
Hey everybody, Sue here from Texas. Good afternoon, y'all. Gosh, just a quick moment of gratitude for this program. My higher power, my spirit team, as I'll call them, that have worked with me all these years to keep me in the rooms, because I have been a rebel. And so I've been in the room since 2009, and I had this I had a sponsor within 2 weeks. I highly recommend getting a sponsor as quickly as possible. She had a couple things that I wanted. She wasn't the thinnest person in the room, but she addressed three of my concerns. So, Lord God, could this place be humorous? And what I think the relationship with her mom. Those are what I based it on. She didn't raise her hand. That's the other thing I'll say, y'all. Even if someone doesn't raise their hand or put their, this is in-person meetings, right? 2009, doesn't have their name and contact information on that piece of paper that went around and said, "Are you available?" I went straight to her after a meeting and shocked the crap out of her because she hadn't raised her hand, and that was part of my story when I was ready to start sponsoring. I refused to do it. And she gave me the grace to wait. And then finally she said, "Listen, Sue, just because you raise your hand does not mean that people are going to flock to you to ask you to sponsor them." Like, that was my fear, that I was going to raise my hand or put my name on the list. And I'd get so many phone calls, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be overwhelmed. I mean, it was hilarious to see how big my ego was at that point, the ego and the fear. I sponsored initially the way I was sponsored because it was in person, right? And I sat down and I met my sponsor, my potential sponsor, for a talk, which I still do myself to this day. Let's have an initial meeting. Let's talk. I want to know, because the questions I ask are different from a newcomer and a returnee, a relapser, right? So I had a list of questions that my sponsor asked me, and I've kind of kept those and I've added to those. Things like, what do you want in a sponsor? Why did you choose me? What is it about me that you wanted? What do you think a sponsor can do for you? Are you willing to go to any lengths? Oh my God, when she asked me that, I thought I was going to faint. I went, oh, sure. Yeah, okay. What are you willing, if it's the returnee, what are you willing to do or willing to change? They're coming back. How'd you work the steps before? How far did you get? Do you have any idea of what you want to do now? What's worked and not worked? Are you under a doctor's care and food plan? Now, my first sponsor as a newcomer asked me that. And I thought, what the heck is business of that is yours? But it was good information to have, as it turns out, if you feel comfortable asking that and answering that if you're a sponsee. What's your current food plan and abstinence? Of course, if you're returning, or if I have a lot of people that come to me, they're switching sponsors. They haven't realized they just want to switch sponsors. And if that's the case, I also ask them to complete with their sponsor that they have. whatever that looks like before we start working. And then the other, how many meetings do you go to? And then I ask, as was asked of me, are you looking for any other way to lose weight or whatever it is that I want to do? You know, because if I'm looking for surgery, if I'm looking, you know, it was of course I'm going to say no, right? Because I no one and the very last question before she started working with me is says, are you willing to be honest and open-minded? Oh my God. You know, I said, you know, I might as well quit here because I know I can't be honest every day for the rest of my life. I mean, you know, speaking honestly, I knew I wasn't going to be able to be honest. And she said, can you be honest today? Can you be honest the rest of the day? I said, yeah, I can do that. So that's how we started. I said I was willing to do the work. And then I was given some suggestions, like how we were going to do this thing. So I needed to call. At that time, there was no texting and no email. So call her every day. And this was just a way to and I do this. Most sponsors nowadays don't request this. I like to touch base with my sponsor pretty often just to get used to, and this was why she asked me to do this, to pick up that heavy telephone. Just call. Even if she didn't answer, I was just saying, hey, it's me. I got to work. Okay. Hang up the phone. Just to get used to calling her, making that a part of my routine. And then if I wanted to, we could talk about stuff going on. But once a week, we had a time where we did step work. That's what that face-to-face was for, step work. I had to go to at least two meetings a week in person, of course, mandatory, and three if possible. And to share at every meeting. And the sharing was, again, for me to get used to letting people know who I am, to fit in. And the sharing could be, well, I don't know if we went around the room and said our name and who we were, but you know, I could just say, I'm Sue, I'm a newcomer, I've been coming for 3 weeks. That was it. Boom, bada beam, bada boom. I had shared. I could offer to read how it works. I could offer to read the tradition. I had to speak something. And let's see. We also she also told me she was not a food sponsor, and I didn't know what that was anyway. So I just disregarded it. I come to find out there are lots of kinds of sponsors, service sponsors, this and that. And I am not a food sponsor either. She wanted me to get a medically approved food plan. So through a nutritionist, a doctor, whatever, because she was not going to tell me what to eat. But we did discuss, of course, through the first three steps, the unmanageability part, my behaviors. We focused a lot on the behaviors. And a lot of the behaviors are part of my abstinence. So that's what I do with my folks too. The literature we used, of course, my first meeting was a big book meeting study and I hated it. But after 2 weeks of talking with her, she convinced me we used the big book and we used as start off with the OA 12 and 12 because it was relatively new, the OA 12 and 12. And it really helped me identify with the craziness with food that I didn't think I could connect with the big book. Hated the word God, wouldn't use it. And I used a lot of things, y'all, to make the program wrong. My sponsor was brilliant. She just said, can cross out the word God then and put HP or something there instead. She just was not going to let me get away with my BS because you know why? Because she was me. She knew all my tricks. She knew all my complaints. I was not allowed to do any major service because I wanted to change everything about OA. I wanted to change the script. The meeting format was too long. Why do we do this? Blah, blah, blah. It's not organized. So a good 6 months went by before I got into any service above the group level where I, you know, could lead maybe a workshop because my ego was so involved. The other thing which ended up being a good thing, is she told me, and I don't say this as much to new people, Don't for a whole year. You don't change jobs, don't move, don't end or start a relationship. If you're going to do any of those three things, big things, you talk to me. She also, and I also recommend this as well, getting outside help if needed. Because one thing, as was shared earlier, I am not a therapist. I'm not a guru. I am not, and I cannot be your only link and connection to recovery. You got to get a posse. You got to call other people. Do stuff. Go stuff. Fellowship back when I started was a big deal, and we would go to dinner after meetings and lunch on weekends if people wanted to go. We did. We went out a lot. We did movies together. We did functions together. It was very important, very, very important. And I suggest that as much as possible as well. It's harder now that we're on Zoom. We don't have that possibility as much, but here in Houston, we do have some hybrid meetings, and we have started going out more now with these people in person and getting hugs. So the only thing that was suggested to me, I highly recommend, well, because I'm so precocious, I apparently, 30 meetings in 30 days. And of course, there weren't 30 OA meetings in Houston. So I supplemented with open recovery meetings from other fellowships. And I was really pissed off having to do that. And not only was I had to go, but I had to also share. Again, all I had to say was, my name's Sue H. I don't have a desire to whatever. My sponsor said I'm here because I'm doing 90 and 90 or 30 and 30. That's all I had to say. People knew exactly why I was there. Highly recommend that. One of the things I wish I'd known before, the very first sponsor, I kind of let my first sponsees walk all over me because I was so like a people pleaser, and I thought that their success, as was shared earlier, would show up on mine, like by association. If they failed, then I would fail. If they couldn't get it, then I was a terrible sponsor. And so unbeknownst to my sponsor, I kind of let them walk all over me. I didn't have clear boundaries. So sorry, the chat window just came up and discombobulated me. It's another thing I wanted to say that I had learned. I think one of the things that too that I still use is that I can do any of the steps that have a one in them. So that's the first 10th, 11th, 12th. And because I had such a weak spiritual part of my program, in fact, I wanted nothing to do with it. I just acted as if, because I thought, okay, I'm going to lose the weight I couldn't lose before and maintain it. So I'm going to continue to do that. And so I did. I got some sort of meditation. I did read the literature. So I do that with my sponsees as well. I like to play games. I stress the traditions. I was asked to, and I do that with my sponsees, memorize all the prayers, learn the traditions, and the principles of the steps. How important they were. That was really cool. Not a lot of my fellows at the time did that kind of thing. And the my format growing up, coming into the room, had three of the traditions in them, in the format. The only requirement, number three, number seven, the seventh tradition, and then 12, anonymity. So I already had three traditions kind of right in front of me, but I would not have known that without a sponsor. So I'm getting close to the end. I guess the gems I would say is, don't let your sponsees use you as your only connection to the program, because I can't do that. I have there have to be other people. I'm not a therapist. However, I do need to have suggestions for life on life's terms. And that's the 12 steps. I am now, what's different now is I'm actually right now taking a newcomer through that temporary sponsors, newcomers first 12 days. It's awesome, y'all. That newcomer packet is so powerful.
Good reminder.
And I am learning so much about me and how I sponsor and where I'm still stuck in my disease by doing that. It's easy, y'all, and you don't have to sponsor them. You're like a temporary through that. So so many things have changed now because of where I started and the technology, but the steps are the steps. Carrying the message is carrying the message. I want to be there for other people. And to do that, I need to get out of my own way, be flexible, and love people. Because this is a disease that's gonna, it's killing me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for asking me to come today.
Thank you very much, Sue H. Hey, I just want to mention again to the group today to be sure to post your questions. We have Q&A after our next speaker, and we want to hear from you. Our next speaker today and our final speaker is Nancy P. Please take it away.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. Thank you for asking me to participate. My name is Nancy P. I'm recovered. I live in West Newton, Massachusetts, about 3 miles from the center of Boston. So my experience with Overeaters Anonymous, I was thinking about it. On January 7th of 2026, I will begin my 56th year in the program. I know I look like I'm 29, but I'm 65. And I joined when I was 11 because my mother was in the program. And she and all her dumb OA friends decided that their kids were also compulsive overeaters and that they should start a young people's meeting. So that's what I did with my peers from the other people that were in OA. And so I've had a really deep bench for a long time. And I spent the first 47 years jerking around, not doing what the book said, what the big book said. And in the rare occasion that I went to big book meetings, I mean, I went to a fair few of them, but I was like the kid that always said in math class, "I don't get it. Can you explain that again?" Like, I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. And, you know, I had a bazillion sponsors. I have also had one sponsor. I call her my real sponsor. I've talked to her on the phone 5 days a week for 40 years. But she couldn't help me be honest. She couldn't help me tell the truth and face up to, you know, admit to who I was. And so my life would have good times. You know, I used to say, you know, thin months or thin weeks and fat years, you know, for a long time, picking and licking and hiding and sneaking and cheating. And it was just like a life of dishonesty around food. And, you know, finally, I was sitting in my car sobbing over my box of donuts, the afternoon one as opposed to the morning one, and looking at my life and knowing that it was going to be the same always, because it had been the same the day before and the day before and the day before. If nothing changed, it was going to be the same the next day and the next day and the next day. And I called a friend, and she told me about a meeting, a phone meeting that probably a lot of people go to, A Vision for You, and I go to that 5 days a week. And I listened to that meeting, and the first day that I listened to that meeting, I have not had to hurt myself with food since that day. And I just want to say, I dislike the word abstinence, so I try not to use it because I hate it. And I listened to the people share, and I knew I felt better. Who wouldn't when you stop eating? You know, you feel better when you don't eat compulsively. But I knew from bitter experience that I was going to have to dip my toe in a little deeper and actually get another actual sponsor who was I was going to pay attention to. And I listened to the people that volunteered, of which there were dozens that volunteer after, you know, at the end of that meeting in the morning. And I thought, maybe her. And then I heard two people share whose sharing I really liked. And I sent them each an email text. And my text said this: "I am desperate. I will do whatever you say if you'll just help me." Like, I had no conditions. I didn't care. I just wanted to feel better. And one of them got back to me a week from the following Friday, because I later learned that she only returns phone calls of that nature on certain days of the month, you know, like the second and fourth Friday or something like that. And she interviewed me and she said, okay, call me on Saturday morning and we can talk about schedule. And she sent me a text saying what I had to do, like do this reading, listen to these podcasts, and do a very small amount of writing. And so I did that. And then she talked to me 3 times a week. She said, I have Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights at 9:30 p.m. And I said, great, I'll take it. She could have said that she had those days at 2:30 in the morning, and I would have said, great, I'll take it. I would have done anything that she said. And in fact, I did do anything that she said immediately and as hard as I could. No questions asked. And she never said to do anything that was offensive or onerous. You know, what she said to do was what the book said. And we talked 3 times a week for 30 minutes. I did all the reading and she did all the talking. And occasionally she'd say, do you have any questions? And I always said no. And the reason I said no is because I had flapped my jaw for 50, almost 50 years, 47 years, to no avail. So really what it was time for me to do as a new sponsee that was actually recovering was shut up and shut the F up, as she later told me once. And I got better. And when we were done, she said, okay, it's time for you to sponsor. And my response was, whoa, 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 whoa. I have a way better idea. And she said, what's that? I said, I think we should do it again, like a cycle. And she laughed right in my face. I didn't even know she could laugh. She was so mean. And she said, that's a terrible idea for me and for you. And the next day, somebody called me up and told me that my sponsor had referred them to me as a sponsor, and was I available? And I said, well, I guess I am. And you know, in my sponsoring, in this, you know, how did I know this woman was gonna, how did I know this was gonna work? Like I said, I've had zillions of sponsors. And you know, I'd get them mean, I'd get them kind, I'd get them nurturing, I'd get them you know, not unavailable, like the kind that would dump you if you sneezed instead of coughed. And this woman was not unkind, but neither was she exceptionally nice. She was all business. And, you know, that's what I needed. I have a deep, still have a deep bench of people who love me and will support me and all the rest of it. What I needed was to sit down, shut up, listen, and learn. And, you know, what does it say in the book? How then shall we present that which has so been so generously been given us? The answer from my sponsor was exactly how it was presented to you. So I've turned into her. I'm a little less, you know, to the point, I think, than she was, but neither do I put up with any nonsense. You know, I'm not a food sponsor. I refuse to talk about food. And how did I learn that? When I called my sponsor up and said, I don't know what to do about clementines. They're so little. And she said, either weigh them or don't eat them. And she hung up on me. And I don't quite do that, but I tell people I'm not a professional. I was told, know who you are and who you're not. The other speakers have gone over this a little bit. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a retirement advisor. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a priest, a rabbi, or an imam, or any of that stuff. I'm agnostic, by the way, too. Super duper agnostic. And so I tell them that, you know, go to a professional. The only food conversation that I have with my sponsees is how to figure out to try to tell them how to figure out what their alcoholic foods are, and I explain what it means to, you know, have a red light food. The reason that you don't eat any of the kind, like I don't eat anything that starts out as a powder and ends up as a loaf, pancake, or a noodle. Like I won't eat anything that's baked, broiled, or fried, or but whatever. I don't do that. I won't eat chickpea flour, although I'll eat chickpeas. I don't eat rice, rice noodle, you know, and I tell them that. And I tell them, like, you know what it says, we shall tell you what we have done, not what you need to do, what we have done. And I don't ever call anybody up and says, sounds like you need a new sponsor, how about me? They all come to me, and if they don't like what I say, they're more than welcome to go elsewhere. I don't even care. And I tell them that, you know, you have agency, this is your responsibility. I'm not unkind about that, but neither am I, I'm not a pushover. And I was told specifically, do not ever compromise or give way to your sponsees. And the one time that I said, okay, let's see how it goes, I lived to regret it. Somebody said, you know, we went over the food list and she said, okay, I'm allergic to X. And I said, I understand that, I am too. That's what this means, blah, 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 blah. And then she, just like Jim, picked up a half a dozen times in quick succession. And I said, I think you're going to have to give up this food. And she said, well, I don't want to. And I said, well, you keep picking up. And, you know, Like the proof is right here. And she said, well, I think of it like a process. I said, well, I don't. So this isn't going to work out for us. And she was outraged. What do you mean? You're dumping me? I said, no, I'm not dumping you. I have one thing for sale in my store. My store's name is Nancy P's Experience, Strength, and Hope, and that's all that's for sale in it. And you're not buying it. So you should go and work with someone that has more for sale. I don't know whatever they have. Like, and I have my big book has tape flags in it. See these? And that's my sponsee's names so that I know where we are. And I can just say, oh, sponsee A is calling me. I open up and I say, just like my conversations, ring, ring, ring. Hi, how are you? Fine. Where were we? And then they do all the reading and I do all the talking. And they can ask questions. That's how it worked for me. And I'm a pretty hands-off kind of a person. I do put in writing what I expect. I strongly advise going to A Vision for You. That's what worked for me. I mean, I tell anybody that they can get better. I tell everybody that they're not special. And then I make it a little bit of a joke. I say, the reason I know that you're not is because I'm not. And I think we can all agree that if someone was going to be special, me. And then they laugh. Anybody can get better. And the reason I know that is because I got better. And I beat my head against this wall, sat in meetings, jealous, angry, resentful. How come her and not me? How come her and not me? And how did I know I was going to get better this time? I mean, how many times have we said that? We have a new sponsor, we go to a new meeting, whatever. Here are some of the methods I tried. And I share that freely with my sponsees. And, I tell them what I did. I make a lot of phone calls. And what I found was, like it says, that we have found that nothing contributes more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among us. I just shared that at a meeting that I spoke at yesterday or the day before, whenever it was. And not a great food plan, not, abstinence, working with other people. And how can you do that if you're not recovered yet? Well, you put yourself out there. You call people up, just like others have said. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I have to come up with a shtick. So my shtick is if anyone's gotten a phone call from me, it's hi, is this whoever? Hi, it's Nancy P from whatever I got, wherever I got their number from. Just making outreach calls. Do you have a few minutes? And it's okay if you don't. That's how I start. And they say, yeah, I got a few minutes. And I say, great, tell me about yourself. Are you new to OA or whatever the meeting is, or neither or both, or what's your story? And then they talk and then I talk and what happens is sometimes I'm on the phone for 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes a long time. But what very quickly happened after that is that I got addicted to making phone calls. And I love it. I love getting calls. The first time somebody called me spontaneously, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I share my experience freely. And I would say that I'm, when I felt like my sister's gay, and when she came out, I think it was hard. And when I realized what was happening to me, and I realized, uh-oh, I'm an agnostic, I sat in my room. I was in my bedroom, which is on the second floor of our house, with solid wooden doors, no hollow core business. Like you'd probably practically need a stethoscope to on the door to hear anybody talking. And I'm on my bed talking to my sponsor, and I'm whispering, saying, "I don't think this is gonna work for me." And she said, why not? And I said, with my eyes closed, because I'm not sure I believe in God. And she said, I thought she was going to kick me out because she went to, Catholic school. She had no trouble with it. Not that people that do go to Catholic school can't be agnostic, but she was not. And her response was a real anti-climax. She said, oh, she said, well, you haven't had a spiritual awakening yet, so don't worry about it. And that just blew me away. She was capable of giving me the same service as she gives everybody else. And it was unremarkable, not worthy of remark about my thinking. She didn't say, to me, the four terrible horsemen in this program are fake it till you make it, act as if, borrow mine, and use the group. Like those things never worked for me. So I tell my sponsees, I don't know how you're going to get this. You have agency though, and your job, your only job, is to figure out how to harness all the information in this book to make it work for you. And I did just that. And I am a reassuring sponsor that no matter where they are, no matter what they think, this can work for them. This can work for anybody, because it worked for me. And I have not had to hurt myself with food in almost 8 years. Not one bite, not so much as an extra grain of rice. And I've had some pretty difficult things, happen to me. And as we all have, I am the same as everybody else because I have binged my brains out because I dinged my manicure, the worst violent eating ever because of that. And when my daughter was in trouble, hacking herself up with a razor blade and burning herself to a crisp, I also couldn't eat fast enough. So it doesn't matter because all pain leads to the refrigerator. Nobody is more worthy of recovery than anybody else. And I let people know that. At the same time, I'm like, if they have a question, I'll answer it from my own experience, strength, and hope if it's about stuff in the book. If it's about what should I do about my marriage, go to a marriage counselor. If or wait, do nothing first. I can say that. Oh, it's almost time for me to end. Anyways, what I can say is that as a sponsor, my agnosticism is not to be afraid of, it's to be cherished. And anybody who thinks that they could be agnostic, you deserve full, there's no bronze, gold, and silver membership. It's all the same. You deserve every bit of recovery that everybody else has. And you can have that too. If you just do what the book says immediately and as hard as you can. And I think I'll let it go at that.
Thank you very much, Nancy P. All right. Before we begin our Q&A, there are a couple more readings along the theme of working with others we want to share with you. Also, want to say thank you for your questions. Please do post more questions in the chat, and we'll get to as many as we can. The first line in the chapter, Working with Others, states, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Tradition 5 states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Members carry the message by financially supporting OA. This is our 7th tradition, and please see the chat for ways to contribute. We're going to start.